I don't know, it's hard to say, you know, they're a bit funny, the kids. One day they go nuts and run after you, and then another day they don't bother, you know.
How do you like it, all this fan attraction?
Oh, I love it. Yeah. It's great fun. Yeah.
Do you feel very restless, very impatient when you were in hospital? And
yes, sort of? Very. Mm. It's a drag sort of laying there, you know, watching the boys when they arrived in Holland and everything. It's funny as well, you know, wondering what you're doing away from.
Why do you think they get a bigger reception abroad than they're getting at home now?
Because they haven't seen us over there, you know. Mm. They're getting to know us over here that much, you know. I think that's why it's dying off, actually. Most of everyone in Britain has seen us now.
How are you feeling at the moment?
I'm fine. Fit and everything.
Yeah. You're going to be able to yell away with the rest of them?
Not for a week.
This is San Francisco International Airport. We are here, as are about several hundred teenagers, for we think the same reason. They tell us something called a Ringo Starr is coming to San Francisco. This, to my understanding, is a form of insect. Police and airport officials have been urging people not to come out here all day long. I genuinely didn't want to. But the powers that be have a sense of humor not like mine, obviously. We wondered if all of them really were here for this purpose, so we decided to ask. Why are you here?
Heard it. That's the reason they're all here.
We immediately beat a hasty retreat for two reasons. One was the rush of teenagers upstairs. The other is that we heard Ringo Starr has arrived. We have been here before greeting Madame New, accused murderers coming back from extradition, and now Ringo Starr. It was obvious that the members of the press were as anxious to see Ringo as were his teenage admirers upstairs.
I'm gonna have an interview, fellas.
Aren't you happy to be here?
Yeah, good day. I'm not staying a bit longer.
Are you planning to go out there and see any of your fans?
Yes, I hope to.
Think they're going to let you go out?
Well, someone said before I could go out. But, you know, they're
going
to...
That's right, he's going out.
I'm going out. Don't worry about me. Are you going out?
And outside, his fans were awaiting one Ringo Starr. Police officers pushing back the crush of the teenagers. Here he comes. Man, we better get out of here. At the very top of the crowd, one crying female. Let's go.
Hello.
This is Bob Rogers in Adelaide, and I'm in the dressing room of the Beatles in the South Australian Hotel. They have just made an appearance out on the balcony. Paul.
Hello, Bob. How are you doing?
We've been saying hello into this darn tape recorder for a while. It wouldn't work. Hello, John.
Hello, Bob. It's still working. We're okay. Yes.
Hello.
Hello. Testing, Bob. Testing, Bob.
Would you say that...
I'm in the Beatles room now, and I was just out on the balcony before, and there were three or four people outside there. None of them waving.
How many would you say were there, John?
About 4 million, I reckon.
Actually, I'd say between 5 and 10 million. I wouldn't like to count them. And hundreds of them in a bin there all day. Does this happen?
In a bin all day. Hundreds of them in a bin all day.
The record.
You see?
The record.
They must have gone in a bin all
day. Yes, I sort of woke up at 7 o'clock and I thought, oh, it must be late. And I looked at my watch and I thought, no, I've got it wrong, you know. So I popped off to sleep again. Sorry, folks.
Actually, there would have been 200 people there, I think it's 7 or 8 o'clock this morning. And I want to know whether this sort of thing's been happening elsewhere in the world. I've seen it in Amsterdam, but what about, you know, New York? Is this bigger than New York?
Oh, it's bigger than New York, but they were outside the hotel. So a lot of them got in New York, you know, finding them in strange bathrooms and things.
The New York hotel was a bit higher, though, you know, it was sort of... It was in a great big skyscraper. Only this is
the lowest building we've been in. Two stories.
Just here. Yeah.
I bet you didn't believe that there were still two-storied hotels.
No, I didn't, actually. Pardon?
It's been a fine day in Australia, and you haven't been out to be able to get out. There were talks that you were going to barbecues to see an Australian rules football match, etc., but you're still in the hotel.
Well, we never watch football matches anyway, but we like to go out, but it's a bit difficult, isn't it?
Yes, I believe tonight you're going to watch yourselves on television, and then you're going to listen. Your show will be broadcast tonight. You're aware of that?
Yes, oh, we know that. We saw you last night recording it.
What did you think of the reaction of the crowd here in Adelaide?
Great, you know, that's all you can say. People give a... It's marvellous it was, you know. It was wild, man. Wild, baby.
Wild, babe. Woo!
Keep going.
It's Matt Mal. He's back again.
Playing mad monkey business.
Cut that out, Mal.
Cut that out, Mal. We've had enough of that.
Listen, can we get this telegram in?
Oh, yes.
See, there's a telegram here that says... Did you see Welcome Beatles nearing landing? Reply, Julie Hodgkinson, the Barton Girls Technical High School. Oh, we did see it. So we want to thank you all. We saw it out of the plane just as we were coming in the schoolyard, and we saw you all jumping up and down. We were waving, but you couldn't see us. So thanks very much.
These girls in the school got a big piece, I don't know, material or something, and it had Welcome and Beatles written on two big pieces. They laid it out in the schoolyard because they couldn't get to see us. You know, just in case anyone's wondering what it was. So thank you, girls. Thank you.
I see in this morning's paper that some 200 schoolgirls staged a sit-down strike at lunchtime yesterday because they were not allowed to listen to the Beatles broadcast of their arrival on their transistor radios. Did you hear about that?
No, that's tough.
I read also that we were only 220 yards away and they weren't allowed out, but... Some people are like that. Never mind.
That's a kind word from John. Now, I want to go over and talk to Jimmy, because Jimmy, I've heard...
There's nothing wrong with our Jim.
Jimmy, I believe you... Well, now, you've got your final performances tonight, and then Ringo arrives tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right. I'm looking forward to meeting him.
And then it's all over for you. What's going to happen? I hear you may not be going back to England.
Not for a little while, no. Fancy going back to Sydney and...
And what? Well, I mentioned the Frances Fay thing. Would you like to mention that?
Yes. She said as soon as I come back to Sydney to go and see her, so there might be a chance of working with her for a little while. And obviously, her being an American will give me an opportunity to go over to the States, I hope, if I do work with her, to study, you know, playing things which... I think it's important, you know, I'd like to do it. It's something that I've always wanted to do, because there's more scope in America than what there is in London for studying.
All right, well, that'll be a great experience for you. You'll return to, possibly, the Frances Fay show at Chequers.
I hope so, yeah.
All the best. And the final word from George Harrison.
Hello, Bob. How are you?
Rings on your finger. Could we discuss them a little bit and say...
Let me just put the coke down.
Coke.
It's a teenage animal. There's scotch in it, actually.
This is the Beetle drink, isn't it, Ringo? There's scotch in the
coke. I've changed the bourbon, actually. It's much nicer. It's stronger as well. This big ring, it's a bluestone, actually. Oh. Was off my mother for my 21st. Mm-hmm. And this wedding ring, which I'm not married, was my grandfather's, who died, and it's a keepsake, which I never take off. And these two are off two different girls whom I didn't marry, funny enough. So, you know, the big one was off a girl about 5 years ago, and this one is off the little one's off a girl about 3 years ago.
And Ringo, the bracelet? This identification?
Actually, the first one I had was off my mother for my 21st with the ring, and when we were trying to get out of a theatre one night in England, some fan ripped the one I had off. So I had to buy another one without telling my mother, you see, because you get upset. And then the watch is the only thing I've ever bought.
Where did you buy that, Ringo?
In Germany, when I played in Germany. But I've got another one. I'm frightened to use it. So smash it up. And I've got a necklace, a gold necklace of St. Christopher, which an auntie bought for me. So I never buy jewellery. people buy it for me.
Ringo, do you look forward to the day when you'll become let me put it this way, a normal entertainer? You can come and go as a normal entertainer would, with a certain amount of fans there and so on, yeah. But nothing like the 7,000 that were there today.
Was there 7,000?
Oh, well, they'll be getting into 7,000.
Oh, I didn't know so many.
Well, you were down a little lower level.
Well, I know I was in a little car, wasn't I? Okay, what did you say?
Do you look forward to the day when you'll only get about 100?
Well, I don't know, you know, I mean, when... At the moment, I love all this, you know, I think we all do. I mean, wouldn't you, you know, if you got off a plane and just, excuse me, our manager seems to be tapping. Yes, can I just finish this?
I saw you on TV the other day and you said you don't like mods or rockers or anything, you're just in the middle of the road.
No, they said, are you a mod or a rocker? I said a mocker, you see, because the thing is, I'm neither, because we design most of our own clothes anyway.
Now, do you ever have your hair cut?
Of course. You could be down by my ankles if I didn't. We have a sort of trim, you know, now and then, a couple of months here and there, and someone has a go at it.
Do you have an urge to see the Outback? You know, you've heard so much about the Outback.
That's all I've heard about, actually. People keep saying, nothing out there, you know, it's all space. Well, I mean, there's a lot of people outside, so they must be living somewhere.
Do you ever get irritated because you can't get above the noise of the people screaming at the shows?
No.
Here's
your glass, Ringo.
I'll
just top it up.
Thank you.
Sorry,
It's good here, isn't it?
No, it doesn't worry me.
No, it doesn't worry me at all. Because we don't... I mean, I think the half of the crowd at least can hear what we're playing. I mean, I can't hear what the boys are playing, but I know what I'm playing. I think if they stopped and listened to us, we'd be finished. No, it's only a joke, you know, it's only a joke.
Well, you can't sing them because of the voice.
Well, the doctor... you know, advise me if I'd just lay off for a couple of days, you know, because the only way I can ever get a note is by screaming my head off, so that, it won't do me any good, you see, shouting.
Well, how long do you think, Ringo, it'll be before you'll have a go at the songs? I mean, will we see
about
you sing
2 hours, actually. I won't be able to stop myself, you know, I'll just, the first night or something, then the second night, I'll just want to sing. But it's good fun, you know, when you can shout your head off and... nod your head and things, because that's all I can do, sitting there, just nod my head.
Have you heard much about Sydney at all, Ringo?
No, not really. I've heard about that you've got a bridge or something there.
Well, you'll be coming back.
There's a pool out there as well.
Well, you're going to have a tour of the harbour and you'll see the harbour.
Are we?
Well, I think you will do. Oh, somebody said.
Don't tell me anything, you know. They just sort of knock on your door, get you out of bed, and then drag you out looking at rivers and things.
Ringo, did your parents ever have anything in mind for you other than drumming or playing it?
I don't think that. They always wanted me to get a trade, you know. My dad's a tradesman. He's a painter and decorator. And I think when I was 15 and up, they thought it was a good thing. You have a trade, son, you can't go wrong. So I ended up as an engineer, which I didn't like very much. I was, you know, lugging metal about and chopping it up and things, which got me down.
How do your parents feel now about your success? I mean...
Oh, they love it, you know, they're made up. My mother gets more mail than I do, I think.
Welcome to Australia.
Thank you.
Are you over? Sorry.
Hello, hello, hello.
Welcome to Australia. How do you feel about being here?
Oh, it's great. It's good fun, you know. I'm glad I'm off that plane.
How have you been on it?
34 hours.
Well, you must be just about had it.
No, I had a sleep, you know. I feel fine. Fit and everything.
How's your throat now that put you in hospital and made you miss the start of the Australian tour?
Well, the throat's fine now, you know.
Everything's all right.
It's fine. Just better take it easy a few days and then we'll be back to normal.
You still allowed to bash the drum as much as
you? Oh, yeah. I'm still bashing.
And have you missed the other boys being
there? Yeah, it was terrible. I've not missed your fellas if you're watching. Or if you do watch.
You're looking forward to joining up with them this afternoon?
Yeah, I can't wait, because, you know, we've been together for 90 years. For so long, you know, it's funny being without them, because even if, you know, when we're not playing, if we go out, at least two of us go out together as a rule. So it's a bit funny being on your own.
Can you give us a look at these rings, which where you got your name from? But,
there you go.
They say that fans have sent you a lot. How many
Many, actually, no.
Yeah.
No. I haven't got 2,671, as some reporter wrote.
And what do you...
I see.
What are you looking forward to most seeing in Australia?
I don't know, everything in general, you know. I'd like to see a few Maoris and that, and a few kangaroos, I suppose, everyone else.
And Brian, can we have a word to you? Can you tell us when you first met the Beatles?
Oh, 1961, October, I think.
And whereabouts did you see them?
In the Cavern Club in Liverpool.
And what did you think when you first saw them?
I was sufficiently knocked out.
Like rubbish, that's what you told me.
And what was the next step from there?
Well, then we got to know each other and eventually worked out the idea of management, see?
I know, I was away at the time, so I joined later, after Brian.
At any time did you have a feeling that you might reach this dizzy height of success that you're now flying on?
Well, I don't know about the dizzy height, but I always thought they were going to be pretty big, very big.
What's the hardest problem you encounter trying to manage the Beatles?
Well, none really, but I think travelling around and going around the world and making arrangements for moving around is the most difficult thing, because you never know what's going to happen.
Do you have any trouble keeping them in control? Or? They try and escape from it.
Oh, no.
Never.
Yeah.
Well, I was
And, on the subject of money, which seems to keep coming into this all the time, how do you go about financing their weekly pocket money? What happens about that?
They get, you know, whatever they want from their earnings, and their earnings go into their own company.
And Ringo, do you miss anything about being a Beatle, or do you think you've got everything there?
No, I don't miss anything, you know. Well, I can't remember. I just have a good time.
Yesterday,
do you wear glasses?
All the time.
All the time, then.
Yesterday in Adelaide, the three said, they were talking about what they were going to do when they weren't Beatles, and I said, you were going to open a chain of women's hairdressing salons.
Yes. Well, I thought of that a few months ago, you know, so... I'm still thinking about it. I could change. Oh, I could change, you know.
Is there anything that you'd like to ask about Australia?
Ask about? No, I don't think so. It seems quite nice to me.
So there's quite a good reception.
There was a marvellous reception. Oh, lovely. How many were there?
Oh, I think it was about 3,000 or 4,000, I think.
Yeah, very good. Seven, he said.
What are we doing?
He's getting worried now, isn't he? He's run out of questions. Doesn't know what's happening. Have you been at it long?
No, not really. No, no.
Well, there it is, the Fokker Friendship, VHFNI, Foxtrot November India, on which these four Beatles, the three Beatles are travelling in from Adelaide. Proceeding in, it'll be landing into the north on the north-south runway, and in just a few moments, the hopes and dreams of all these crowded people here will be just beside themselves with joy. You can hear the screaming probably starting now. They seem to sense that it's almost with us, and my goodness gracious me, this has been a pretty exciting time. People here right around the entire area that's been cordoned off by ANZUS ANA here to allow the Beatles plane to come in. There was suggestions, of course, earlier that if anything got out of hand here and crowds started breaking through the barriers, that the Friendship would be diverted to Mangalore. But there you can see for yourself, there's no question of the aircraft going to Mangalore. It's just about to touch down on the north-south runway. It's down in pretty gusty conditions here at Essendon, and the screams are building up. They've been giving these little screams every 30 seconds or so right throughout the day since we've been out here. Now it's sort of building up into one continuous scream and getting louder and louder as every second goes by. Tremendous security precautions have been taken, of course, with regard to the actual parking of the aircraft here on the tarmac. Nobody will be allowed out at all on the tarmac while the propellers are still running. I should imagine that the captain will probably cut the one of the motors, possibly the port motor will be cut shortly, and he'll leave one of them running until he's actually pulled up completely. And until those engines stop altogether, then there'll be no question of anybody going out onto that tarmac. The aircraft did arrive a little bit earlier due to this north wind behind it. They've taken the Beatles for a bit of a flight down around Port Phillip Bay. They went down, we understand, in the vicinity of Frankston, and then they brought them back over the city again, and here they are. Melbourne's first glimpse, almost live, of the fabulous mock-tops. The crowd is starting to scream again. I don't think they can really believe this is happening. There have been people of all ages out here all day singing Beatles songs. Every now and again you'd hear them breaking out with, "We love the Beatles," and on they'd go, and then there'd be a few screams, and gee, it's been an exciting time. You can't help but get with this tremendous spirit of enthusiasm, this almost air of abandonment that everybody seems to be showing about the Beatles. I can't help but believe that this is good. If people can, as it were, let their hair down, to use an expression, there goes our Channel 7 camera, the Channel 7 camera bringing you the closest of close-up looks of these fellas as they come out, our mobile camera, and there the camera is out there, right beside the door, where the Beatles will in a moment emerge. We've got Pam Clifford and Marion here, they're jumping up and down with excitement. Can you really believe this is happening, Pam?
No, Ryan, no, it's terrific.
There goes an Ansett ANA official who will open the door. It'll be interesting to see. I'm going to depend on you juniors here to give me a bit of a clue. Pam's jumping up and down here. She doesn't know what to do with herself. That doesn't look like a Beatle, Marion, does it?
No, not quite, Brian.
Well, there we go. The crowd are sort of all now in a state of complete suspense. They're just waiting to see which Beatle's going to appear first. No sign of them yet. There are a few hands there, which I think belong to a couple of the very pretty Ansett ANA air hostesses. There's the truck that they will be mounting. As a matter of fact, when this truck went by a little while ago, quarter of an hour ago, the crowd absolutely screamed with joy at an empty truck. This is the sort of fever that's developed here with these Beatles today as they arrive at the Essendon Aerodrome. A great air of expectancy. The crowd has sort of reached a stage of hush now. There's barely a sound. They're screaming now. There it is. There's the first one. Paul McCartney, I think. John George. Jimmy Nichols, who's their stand-in drummer. And there they go. They're mounting the special truck. Paul McCartney. Who's the next one? That's Jimmy Nichols, number three. George behind. And Jimmy. John's got the dark glasses on. Maybe John's had himself pretty happy sort of time over in Adelaide. But there they are. They're sort of looking, I think, very happy about this welcome. It's a cold wind here. At least it's not raining. But my goodness, it's a freezing wind. And you can see there as they stand huddled in their coats that they're probably feeling the full effects of this very chilly wind. They're now being taken for their special tour around the crowd here at Essendon. And these people now, the people at the far northeastern end of the tarmac here, will be getting the first glimpse of them. People virtually underneath the control tower, this side from the control tower, will be seeing them first. They've got balloons and banners and every conceivable type of thing. Do you think the Beatles look happy about being here, John?
I think so. I think they're enjoying every minute of it, Brian. The people are screaming their heads off over there. I think cars will break out every minute.
Well, this is a moment of great excitement. As I said before, it's infectious. You can't help but get to it. People running in all directions now, chasing the Beatles around in this truck. But as you'll notice, no sign of disorder as far as the people behind the fence are concerned. There doesn't appear to be yet any attempt at all for people to jump the fence, which I think is a tremendous tribute to these young people who have waited for such a long time here. They're almost round in front of our commentary position now and waving gaily. John's wearing a pretty coloured pink shirt there, I see, Marion. Looks pretty radiant. The others are all pretty well cloaked up. And there they go, past our commentary point now. Looking pretty happy. They look a bit cold, but they're happy. And away they go. We got a nice wave there from George, was it, at the back? George at the back there gave us a pretty happy wave as he went past. And this would make your day complete, girls, I guess.
Oh, yes, Brian, definitely.
Well, were they what you thought they'd be?
Oh, yes, they're wonderful.
A bit more. There they go. They're doing another round of the circuit. Well, this seems to be in keeping with this wonderful attitude of generosity, if we can term it that way, that the Beatles have shown everywhere on their tour throughout Australia. Nothing seems to be too much trouble for these fellas. They don't seem to mind how long they wait, in what conditions they have to wait. It doesn't seem to matter if it's raining. It doesn't seem to matter if it's a chilly Melbourne wind. They're still happy to keep on going around, waving to all these fans who have listened and waited for them for so long. All you can hear all over the drone now is just virtually one continuous scream. It's hard to believe that girls can scream this loudly or get such a high note, but we've heard so much of it today that the proof is there. The police mobile courtesy vans are moving around, one in front of the truck and one behind the truck to ensure that everything's kept in order. motorcycle police escorts behind the courtesy van. But this is a tremendous tribute to these young people. I have not seen one semblance of a disorderly action from any member of this crowd. Their enthusiasm could not be better. And yet, over on the left here, somebody suffered from it. Down directly under our van here on the left, somebody is being carried off here. This is what the ambulance people feared, that this might get a little bit too much. There's a young lady here just going right past us now, and she's been carried off. But on go the Beatles in their triumphant tour around the drone. They've just about got back to the Fokker Friendship again, from which they departed just a few minutes ago. They're going right out around the control tower now, and it would appear that that's the direction from which they're now going to leave the Essendon Aerodrome. I think they gave the people a pretty good look at what was going on. They did two complete circuits of the tarmac area here. There's a strange silence around us now. People are mooching about. They sort of can't believe that in all this time of waiting, their idols have arrived, and now almost as quickly as they came, they've gone again. People are streaming across the grounds in a hope of catching another glimpse of them as they go out on the northern side of the Ansett ANA terminal here in Essendon. They're leaving up by the old area. There's another fine shot of them as they move there past the old Ansett ANA buildings. There you can see their air cargo depot, and this was where their old terminal used to be, of course. So you'd have a pretty fair idea of the where they're travelling. They go right up, I should think, to the almost northern exit of the drone, and then down, of course, into the main exit and down Mount Alexander Road. You get some idea there of the tremendous crowd of people by the cars in the car park there. People just came in a steady stream here over the last couple of hours until we had a pretty healthy crowd out here at Essendon. And as I said before, I don't think the Beatles could have wished for a more enthusiastic welcome from the people of Melbourne. We move across to the Southern Cross just a moment. Take you back to the Southern Cross, where, as I mentioned before, the police have had their hands full all day. They've had a much more congested area there, of course, in which to control the crowds. At least there's been plenty of space at Essendon, but over at the Southern Cross, conditions have been pretty chaotic ever since early this morning.
We understand now that the Beatles have come up Collins Street, the cars pull into Bourke Street, and they're coming in the Bourke Street entrance of the Southern Cross Hotel, and any minute now we'll have the Beatles out here on the balcony at the Southern Cross Hotel. The fans are going mad. Their car is in Bourke Street, and the fans are going really mad. Here they come. Here come the Beatles with a police escort, the crowd surging forward, absolutely out of control. This is not the Beatles. This is a diversionary measure. This is a police escort without the Beatles. They fooled the fans. The Beatles are making an entrance through the back of the hotel. This is a diversionary measure. The cars are pulling through. The fans are going mad, but the Beatles aren't here. They're around the back of the hotel. And the screams of disappointment coming from the fans as they realise they've been fooled. The Beatles are around the back. They couldn't have possibly got them through this crowd to the front entrance. And the policeman is being knocked off his bike here. He can't get through the crowd. The policeman's off his bike. The crowd absolutely pushing through. The policeman's come off his bike. They're trying to clear a way through. The crowd's gone mad. The car's going through. The sirens are going, and it's hysteria. You can't imagine what it's like here at the Southern Cross. Everyone's going completely mad. People are being trampled in the crowd. The horses are pushing the crowd back. The car's going through. One policeman's been knocked off his motorbike already. A police car ran over one of the spectators and injured his leg. He's been taken away. Policemen are being knocked off their bicycles. The horses are about the only ones that are remaining calm. But the Beatles are not here. They're making an entrance. We hope a secluded entrance through the rear of the hotel. The fans are going mad here. The crowd is seething and they're breaking completely loose. Absolutely out of control. Completely mad here. They're completely packed in. You can't see an inch of space. The crowd's going really mad. There are balloons, there are banners. There are all sorts of conceivable means of expressing their love for the Beatles. And we love the Beatles, and this is absolutely wonderful here at the Southern Cross. It's fantastic, and we've never seen anything like it. They're throwing confetti, even. There's a policeman down there trying to battle his way through the crowd. He hasn't got a hope. There are several girls that are very ill, and they can't get out of the crowd. The crowd is surging forward. They're going right into the hotel. They're surging forward 20 feet at a time. One seething mass of people. Now we're just waiting for the Beatles to appear. Here comes somebody, and here they are. Here come the Beatles. Here they come. You can't hear them above the shrieks of the crowd. This is the moment they've all been waiting for. Here come the Beatles. And you can hear the cheers there for the Beatles. We're approaching our microphone now. Here they are, the guys in Australia. Here are the Beatles. Hello, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hello, here they are, the Beatles. it going. Well, you've just seen the Beatles here at the 7 o'clock. Hysteria has really taken hold of the crowd now. They've seen their idols. And we're running along after the Beatles to try and catch them now. I don't think we'll be in the race here. We've got to be a mile sprinter. That's as far as we can go. We couldn't catch after them. They were too fast for us. But the crowd have now seen the Beatles. And all of a sudden, everyone has become very quiet. The crowd is now, this is amazing, in comparison to just a few seconds ago of ear-splitting screams and screeches and chants. The crowd now has completely subdued. They're breaking up already, and already they're on their way home. They've waited hours, some of them 24 hours, for a glimpse of not more than 3 or 5 minutes of their heroes, but they're happy. They've got Beatlemania. They've seen the Beatles. We've seen them. We brought it to you through Channel 7's cameras. And the crowd now waving to our cameras with their We Love the Beatles pennants. You can just hear them. Beatlemania still carries on here at the Southern Cross. One of the most original signs and placards we've seen here this afternoon is We Love You Cobbers. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's one of the most original ones. The Beatles apparently have appeared at the window. There they are, the Beatles at the window of their hotel suite.